Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Don't call it a comeback. The voice is at least somewhat making a return appearance.
75%.
Yeah. It's back. But I tell you, it's still got a little extra bass to it.
You do. You've got that sexy thing
working
again.
That's what Esme said. Esme said my voice is extremely sexy today. I said, well, hello.
You're making my panties wet.
I don't think I needed all that.
You want to see?
No. You got the white jeans on today,
that's right.
Too.
That was so for the people.
The wet spot is easily
that's right.
visible.
I wore the white jeans. I was like, ugh, please don't get my period today. Boy, that would be embarrassing.
You are rolling today already.
I thought of that because I stopped by a place that makes chicken sandwiches that doesn't pay me to advertise for them, so I won't say their name.
Yes.
And I try not to get french fries. I try to just go all protein, so I'll get a burger, or I'll get a chicken sandwich, and then like chicken nuggets. But then I got barbecue sauce, and I thought, ooh, and I'm driving trying to eat. And I was like, man, you know what? This is going to be really bad if... Oh, look, there's us. That's weird.
Shout out to Chick-fil-A. chicken nuggets, barbecue sauce, you gave it away, bro.
You can get that at Mickey D's.
Yeah, no one goes there for no chicken nuggets anymore.
Oh, they got the best. Are you
Do
kidding
they?
Me? Yeah.
I don't go to Mickey D's anymore.
Yeah,
I haven't had them in years, everyone. But I could hammer a 20-piece for sure.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Easily. But I do that because Chick-fil-A's, whoops, damn it.
Well, now the cat's out of the bag.
Well, now everyone's figured it out. But I do that because I feel like it's healthier. But then I was like, if I spill barbecue sauce on these white jeans, it's over. Everyone's going to say, how do you poop in the front of your pants? Did you get your period? So that's what made me think of it today. But I will say this.
Please.
I might be on one today, or I might actually pass out and die on the show. I started my testosterone treatments today. I have no idea.
You noticed the difference?
Literally in the middle of the show, my balls might drop out of the bottom of my pants. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Have you noticed the difference?
I mean, I feel like a man. Nothing yet. I'm supposed to have more energy. I don't feel like I really do.
When is it supposed to kick in? Immediately?
I have no idea how it works.
3 a.m.?
Shout out to Man Centers for getting my numbers up. I appreciate it.
3 a.m. when it looks like you're going camping.
My wife would be like, what are you doing? It's 3 a.m. Why are you trying to spoon with me? I'm not trying to spoon. Daddy's trying to go to town, all right?
Go get the Coleman. We're going camping.
Yeah. You need to wake up. Actually, you don't need to wake up. I'll do this by myself.
Oh, boy.
When you're married, you can do that. Don't do that if you're single. That's a felony.
You can't do that?
What? Nothing. Yeah, you totally can. When you're married 20 years in, like me and my wife, I mean, we've been together for 20 years in July, or in August, excuse me. Yeah, you can do that. I think it's our
old as dirt.
That's
man.
A long time.
Well, so it's our, so July 1st is our birthday. July 2nd is our anniversary, our wedding anniversary. And it'll be 14 years married.
Wow.
But then August 13th will be the first date we ever went on. And that was 20 years ago, 1998. That's a long time to be with somebody.
It is. You guys should start. You're almost to the point where you can start having kids.
I can't. No, that's not what this testosterone is for. This is so that I my beard fills in and I get all buff.
Could you imagine Barry with
a whole
child?
Lot of sex.
He'd just be yelling at the child the entire time.
Good point.
The entire time.
I would. I'd be like, go outside and play with the dogs. Dad, it's 9 o'clock at night. I don't care.
And you know the kid's first words would be F you.
No, kids' first words would be suck it.
That one or the other.
Have to be suck it.
Yeah.
Do I say the F word a lot, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, and believe me, your kid would say it to you after you kept, because you kept yelling at him.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I'm, but you have to be pretty impressed by now, as much as I do say the F word off air, that I rarely say it on air. I don't think I've ever have.
Neither one of you guys get credit for swearing or not swearing on the air, because both of you guys let it loose sometimes. Let's be honest.
We are champion cussers off the air when we need to be.
But why are you giving me that look? You act like you've never dropped an S-bomb or an F-bomb on the air.
I've never said the F-word.
I think you have.
Well, he's dropped both something. Both of you can... I'm not gonna debate as to what he said.
Both of you can go fornicate yourselves, all right? Like, Nick doesn't even know if he has to dump that.
Nick gives you the pregnant pause, like wait, 5, 4, 3, I'm running out of time here.
Is that blank stare, Joel?
Easy now.
That's good times. Yeah, so I have no idea how I'm going to be,
doing the salt and pepper shaker.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how this is going to affect me. I know the last time I got on any type of medication, it was Adderall for ADD, and it caused me to be so depressed that I thought like my wife was cheating on me. I thought like there was the people were out to get me. Like, it messed me up. So I'm hoping this testosterone thing doesn't do that. I don't think it will, but I have no idea.
There's a couple of Mike condoms right next to you, so that'll help. Right there on the table, sir.
What the hell are you talking about?
Right there on the table.
Oh, yeah. What do I want those for?
I'm just saying, if it gets a little too,
aggressive?
Yeah.
What would I
You've
do with those?
You got something for it.
What?
Yeah.
Are you confused as I am?
Yeah, I'm not following that one.
Well, you should dong yourself right now.
Okay, I'll do that.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That's the first time in history that I've donged myself.
Yeah. No, today.
Well.
You've donged yourself plenty, but just not on the show.
Without the need for testosterone treatment.
Just not. I don't understand. Steve said, nice knowing you, Barry. Oh, because I eat Mickey D's? What? I don't know.
No idea.
If you want to get on the live stream, ESPN975.com.
Yeah.
Right?
People were saying, too, when do they think that they're going to sponsor the back of our computers?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even think about that. Is that a thing?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like when Lisa does the news, they're all Microsoft tablets.
You can tell who's got the newer laptop because my Apple doesn't light up.
So you have the newer one?
I don't know. I thought you did. Is that not the case?
I have no idea.
No, you clearly have the newer one.
No, because his is all fancy and thin. And
no, that's just the AirBook. That's how old is your
just laptop? The AirBook?
Mine's a couple over a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's had that since we started the show.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got this last Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not that far apart. I just don't know why mine doesn't light up. That's not fair.
I don't think mine does either.
No, it doesn't.
The new ones don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it would be the opposite.
Yeah, because like, you got yours fancier. After both of us.
Oh, Nick. God. I just touched the microphone. Now I have herpes. That's not good. Oh, God.
Especially after I spit all over it to hope AJ got something yesterday.
Can I get a...
wet nap?
Yes.
Oh, maybe during a break where you have to still get near the microphone to speak.
Can we go to break?
This is probably a good time to remind people the HRP listener line is open. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. You guys did a hell of a job lighting that phone board up late yesterday.
How bad was it? I heard a little bit of the blitz. How bad did they roast us?
Not really bad.
Because it really wasn't our fault. Like, I mean, Nick jokingly was like, yeah, let's take the call. But Patrick is the one that set it off, and White Magic's call I thought was just funny.
Well, wasn't it initially a text that said they wanted Barkley to punch the blitz, and then Patrick called after that, right?
Was it?
I don't know what order. I just know that I was expecting it too. Like, but the funny thing was, Jong had no idea until I mentioned it when I went during a break when I went out in the hallway. And the next thing you know, Jong is like, "Oh, you need to hear what happened." And I'm like, "Oh, because you weren't even listening." And then all of a sudden, you had the two
calls.
I texted
him a picture of the call screen, so. AJ.
AJ, you did, right. But Jong all of a sudden had all this magical audio to come back to. And then what I like is the guys are totally cool leading up to the show. And then when they get on the show, it's just complete pound on us.
What?
I didn't hear it. I listened for the whole first segment. The only shot they took was at Barry.
Yeah.
Fred, no, because Fred is so laid back and he's like, hey, guys, what's up? And then Fred gets on there and he's like, well, the lesser show before us decided to da 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 because no one listens to
that.
See,
I didn't hear that.
Da, da, da.
But
and
that's all part of it. That
might have been in the second segment, though, right?
That's all part of it. No, that's all part of it.
I can get tired of it if I want.
And Fred, yeah, you can, but you're being petty if you are.
No.
Is he being petty, Nick?
A little.
713-780-3776 if you think Joel's being petty.
And if you hate the blitz, 713-780-3776.
Go to the stream and look at his face right now.
You need another shot, and it's not from a doctor. That's what you need.
No, I think it's all fun and games. I was texting AJ during their show.
I don't think there's no animosity at all.
No.
And they actually played both calls, and I was like, man, they should have played
they even said they
White Magic's
it.
Call first, but they played it second, yeah. And they enjoyed it.
They thought it was good,
hey,
too.
But Patrick didn't threaten
it was
to
funny.
Hit AJ in the face. Only White Magic did, right?
No, Patrick said, I didn't even read all the texts from Patrick because he followed up with a bunch of texts that I just deleted. Because he was like, I'll come down there. I was like, okay, this is getting too far. It's supposed to be all fun and games. And a good time, and it was getting too far.
AJ kept referring to being threatened to be punched in the face by both guys, and I had only heard White Magic say that because White Magic was the guy that said I joined the army because of
no, me. Yeah, White Magic. Yeah. God, that was so funny.
That was great.
I'm so sick of AJ and joined the army. That will forever stay in my heart. That was the funniest thing. And then he's mad at Fred because he's Canadian, and the best part is Fred's not Canadian.
He's not. Yeah.
That was what made the call so beautiful. But
the only two things that he turns the channel for are the blitz and the guy with the little feet, and the guy with the little feet is Palillo, who's on another station. So it's like it's all crazy, but it was all hilarious.
Oh, God, that was so
funny.
Who's
the comedian of the week?
So I was going to say, it's an FEF Friday today.
FEF Friday.
You're already... way under my skin.
So
today,
easy. So easy. Yeah, our comedian of the day is my buddy Kazim Rahman. And I know I say my buddy a lot, but Kazim and I actually came up in comedy together. We've done the road together. We write together. We used to sit in the back of the joke joint during their open mics and workshops and shows. And he is one of my kind of ride or dies in comedy.
Sure,
as far as
together.
Peers on my. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And this is so he's a buddy of mine, and I've been dying to get some of these guys that I actually am friends with outside of comedy on the show. So I'm excited to do that today. Kazim Rahman, he was here. He's moved to L.A. Another guy that's in L.A. that's moved out of the city to try to get better. He tours with Brent Morin and Jason Collins, so he's doing some cool things. He's trying to get a writing gig with a show. So he's doing a lot of spec scripts and stuff like that. But I think you'll enjoy it, man. He's a funny dude.
Yeah, I've listened to some of the clips. He is very funny. So we got that going for us, which is nice. We'll also continue to roll on with lots of stuff that it's already lined up for us to talk about sports. Yeah. LeBronto is the new phrase trending on Twitter because LeBron was spectacular last night.
LeBronto, what does that mean?
Because it's not Toronto anymore. It's LeBronto because he owns Toronto.
Speaking of toes, at some point during the show, we're going to have to talk about them putting Shaq's feet on TV during dinner time.
I didn't see that.
I almost threw up. It's the nastiest thing.
Oh, his feet are bad. I tweeted that picture way back. His feet are nasty.
It looked like his big toe looks like that lady from Throw Mama from the Train. It's horrible.
Aaron, you clumsy poop.
Oh,
bring
God.
Me my medicine.
Yeah, it was. Don't ever do that again, TNT. No one needs to see his feet ever. Ever.
Well, you got what you asked for. Your favorite puppet is on hold. So we'll continue
already?
To roll on. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. At Twitter, it is at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel
mouth.
With a K. This testosterone shot is really going to make our lives interesting.
Just enjoy
today.
The day, Joel.
We'll be back with more. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, I can play the comedian. Okay.
Oh.
Suck it. Just do it at 1:30. Just do it at 1:30. Don't worry about it. We'll do it at 1:30. It's all good.
I want to get the OU Mike's call. Charlie is at 1:30.
Yeah, I want to get to OU Mike's call. We'll do it on the way out. But I want to get to OU Mike's call. He's shooting a shot early. He usually comes in at the end. But I want to see why he's...
I was texting the boss.
Oh, you were? Nora? No. you Mike wants to talk about Joel being petty.
We got to get to this call. Let's get right to that one. Let's go quickly.
Of course.
And the guy on text message, too.
Oh, you Mike, what's
Astros
up?
Astros relief. I'm about to run, ready to run Joel blank out there.
Put Joel in the bullpen.
Joel is so petty. The Heartbreakers think they're fixing to go back on tour.
Mike, your weak ass is terrible.
That was worst.
That was awful.
Oh, you might call.
It was a granddad joke.
It was a Tom Petty joke.
Dumb.
I don't dong you though. Oh, you Mike. I'm nice to you about that.
We should ban him from calling after that. That was that.
I don't
bad.
Think we should do that.
That was almost bannable.
I'm actually.
And he texted the joke about putting Joel in the bullpen, and I deleted it because it wasn't good.
It's terrible.
And you guys know if I don't read your text, it's because I don't like it. And then you can text something good, and I'll read it if I like it. But you can't call in with jokes that don't get read and then get them off on the air. That's not a good rule. By the way, White Magic is checking in. White Magic may have had call of the year so far.
White Magic.
He set it off in this mother.
You have redeemed yourself in many ways, even though you took shots at Nick and I. And Barry is still open if you want to take shots at him. But
always
fantastic
open.
Yesterday. Always open. Fantastic.
I wasn't really sure. I was actually asking him because someone said I was sucking off Harden on the text line, and I'm trying to figure out who. I think it's White Magic.
No, I don't
but
think
it could not.
Oh,
be.
Was it?
He identifies himself on text messages.
He signs all his texts.
For sure.
Somebody said that the testosterone is going to make my balls even bigger.
The skinny jeans are going to have to be altered.
You didn't ask man sitters when they did that?
I didn't ask anything about it. Like, what does it do? Am I going to lose my hair? Am I going to, you know, my sex drive?
That's probably a question you
walking around with an erection all the time? Am I going to, like, should I start working out because I will get more muscle? Like, what's happening here? I don't know. Am I going to get is my voice going to change?
That's me yesterday. Don't worry about that.
Is my beard going to finally fill in? I have no idea. These are all the good things I can think of. I have no idea, like, the bad.
But I thought you were already getting the laser hair removal for the rest of your goatee.
No, that's for my widow's peak, my Eddie.
Oh, your Eddie.
As we learned, the black folks say, my Eddie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's silly. Why does Barry look like a penis? That was a text.
Well, everybody's a little salty today.
No creativity there.
No, I don't feel I look like I don't think I'm handsome, but I certainly don't think I look like
for all the
penis.
People that take the shots, I mean, why don't you try and do this for one day and sit your ass in front of these cameras every day and just leave yourself open?
Yeah, how about your ugly ass text me a picture of you? And then I can tell you what people. I'll tweet it out and we'll let everybody see what your stupid ass looks like, and then we can talk about you. Also, I kind of do look like a penis with my hair cut like this. It kind of does look like a...
You were...
When you're right, you're right.
You were getting yoked up with Andre Johnson before your haircut?
Yo! I was at the Kurt Cuts yesterday at Nine Innovations in the gym. It's the one that's at Aaron Foster's gym. And a lot of athletes go through that gym. And yesterday, I was sitting on the couch waiting to get my hair cut, and Andre Johnson walks in, puts his bag up, and starts working out. He looks like, I know he's slower now, he looks like he could go out right now and get you a first down. That dude is yoked.
And he's always been, like, ripped up in good shape. But the fact that he's not playing anymore and he's still doing it, because it's crazy. I saw a clip, I guess today's the anniversary of the first time Michael Jordan appeared on David Letterman, and they showed him, and I was like, oh, my God. God, was he thin. Like, totally different in terms of the structure of his face and everything like that. And I forgot when he first came in from Carolina and he hadn't been lifting or anything like that.
Yeah.
He was he was almost Thon Maker. Yeah, his face was really thin.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, he's a big dude still, man. We got to go. You want to take Lawrence's call? Get this basketball thing started,
sure.
Or do you want to wait?
Sure, sure. It's fine.
All right. Lawrence, what's up, man? Lawrence, let's talk about the Celtics game last night.
You're right. The more I watch that young dude, that point guard from Boston, man, he's scary, man. And I watched for the first take in the morning, and Stephen A. Smith was like, you know, that guy – they should think about trading Kyrie Irving to the Spurs to get Kawhi Leonard. And I was like, man, that'd be an awesome team. I'll hang up and see what y'all think about that.
Lawrence, have a good weekend.
Talking about
you
Rozier.
Beat me to it, okay? I brought this up with Nick in the production.
Talking
meeting,
about Terry Rozier.
That Terry Rozier is playing so good that Stephen A. broached the subject. Should the Celtics think about trading Kyrie Irving because Terry Rozier has proven he can do, he can run that team. He can be an above average point guard in this league. And I think the kicker is.
Has he though? He's having a great run of games. He's having a good stretch.
Well, the first question is where was he all regular season if
exactly.
he was going to be this good?
You want me to give you his line for the regular season?
Yeah, go ahead.
11.3 points a game, 2.9 assists. I mean, that's who you're going to bank right. your franchise? You're going to get rid of Kyrie Irving for that?
Right.
For his career, he's averaging 7.2 points a game and 2 assists a game. Now, I'm not banking
and
that.
And here's the flip side of it, too, right? Because he's under contract for a while. It's a really good position to be in if you're the Celtics, Danny Ainge. We've talked about all that. But here's the flip side of it. Do you really need Kawhi because he's a wing? And think of the wings they have. They have Brown. They have Tatum. They were talking that the Sixers would be a better team because he is a wing that they need because that's what they don't have. They have Simmons, they have Embiid, they have pieces, but they don't have the wing. Boston is wing heavy with all the guys they have, and they're all young. And we've talked to Mario Elie about the fact that you're going to have to pay all these guys.
Yeah, at some
and
point.
And at some point, one or two may go. So I would think Philly might be a better trade partner, depending on everybody talking about LeBron considering them, because of the fact that Boston is so wing heavy. I get it. You have one or the other guy expendable if you're the Celtics, but at the same point, look at that roster and say, why would you tinker with it now if they're all under contract, they're all young, and they're all really good?
And you've got Gordon Hayward. So
coming
if
back,
you, if
right.
you put Kawhi in there as well, I mean, you're getting a point guard back, you're getting a small forward back, you're adding that to the talent that's already on this roster. I don't know that the Celtics need to do anything. They just need to be healthy.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And so the fact that your window of opportunity was put off a year because of the injuries to Hayward and Kyrie Irving shouldn't tell you that you need to make any kind of changes at all, because what you've done is you've built the future for the next 3 to 5 years of success.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. We're definitely going to get more into that after the break. But real quick on the way out, this is our comedian of the week, Kazim Rahman. We'll be back right after this, ESPN 97.5.
Tell you guys a little about myself. I'm Kazim. I'm Nigerian. That's a country off the west side of Africa. I'm very proud to be Nigerian. I tell my parents all the time that I'm proud to be Nigerian. And then we went to Nigeria, and I was like, yo, I just want to be black now. That's too much. No thanks, Dad. Oh, my God. Are you serious? I'm not about that life, I figured out. You know, something about Nigeria, you hop off that plane like, yo, I'm Nigerian, but not like this. Definitely not like this.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, here we go. Second half hour, first 60 minutes of the show. It is Charlie Polillo joining us, as he normally does. It's Fridays. It's 1:30 to 2. You can catch Charlie Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 on SportsMap 94.1. If you've been texting the show because your weak-ass screen seems to think that my headphones are pink as well as my shirt, I can tell you it's pink, and it's probably in that location between your legs, and you should move on to a better topic. Thank you very much. Charlie is back with us. Barry is here. Nick is here. It's an F Yeah Friday, and that's the F that is directed right at that Twitter person. I mean, that text person. Enjoy your day. Charlie, welcome to the show. How's everything in your world?
Video killed the radio star, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Buggles. I appreciate it.
You know the fame of that song, right?
First video ever played on MTV.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Barry, right?
Yeah. Have we met?
Long time no listen?
Yeah.
Aged gracefully.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jeez. Okay.
Did you miss me? Did you miss this beautiful face?
Got all that out of the way?
No.
You are out?
Wow.
It's been a couple weeks.
Wow, it has been, yeah. Even though we talked on the show.
Correct.
It's still been, yeah. It's good. All right, let's get to it. What do we?
I don't know. You guys are just kibitzing. I thought I'd step out.
I'm curious. We've only got two segments with Charlie. What does he want to do first? Does he want to bash the Astros or talk basketball?
I'm here at your beck and call.
As a New Yorker, Charlie, you got all these Yankee fans that are already like so giddy and like going over the top with all the Astros bashing. Is it really that serious? It's April into early May.
It's fun fan silliness. Would you rather have won 3 out of 4 in this series or 4 out of 7 in the last series?
Right.
But this is what Yankee fans have to hang their hats on for the moment. So, hey, good for them. They were the clearly better team in this series. Right now, they are clearly a better team than the Astros. We'll check back 130 or 135 or 142 games from now and see where it comes in. But the Yankees are real. Their starting pitching holds up. Their lineup is better than the Astros. Their bullpen is clearly better than the Astros. And since the Astros' offense has been and the bullpen fell apart twice in 3 days. Yes, Bronx Bombers, you're a dynasty. We all bow down before you and your one World Series championship in the last 17 years.
Crazy thing is, as good as the Yankees are playing with the 9-game winning streak, and then they've won 3 since that one loss
to
the Astros.
They're in second place, like the Astros.
They're still game behind.
Wait, the Astros
behind.
Are in second place?
No, they're tied. Well, I guess technically they are.
Percentage points, yeah.
So that's the beautiful thing about baseball. Now, going off the air yesterday, the Astros were up 5-3, and we started making the comments, or at least I brought it up. Isn't it amazing the difference a game can make? Because we assumed that there's no way the Astros bullpen blows this in the ninth inning.
What made you assume that?
I don't. Well, because my thought was, surely A.J. Hinch doesn't take out Chris Devinsky after 12 pitches, 3 strikeouts, a lefty coming up to lead off the inning. He's probably the best guy in that bullpen versus lefties. He can induce ground balls with that. There's no way he takes him out. And he does, and they can tell
you.
We were sitting in the bullpen, just going, "Why would you do that? Why would you do that?" I feel like that, and I'm not going to bash AJ Hinch. I'm not of the opinion that AJ Hinch is a bad manager. I don't think that at all. I think he's great at what he does. I think sometimes you're going to make bad decisions, and yesterday was a bad decision.
Smart people do stupid things. Yeah. Stupid people do smart things. It was 12 pitches.
Yeah.
12. 3 dominant strikeouts. Credit to AJ Hinch. The 8th inning was what really should have been the save situation spot.
Yeah, that was the high leverage
spot. Gregorius, Stanton, and Sanchez coming up. What the Yankees had batting in the 8th inning loomed as much more difficult than what they had coming up in the 9th. So he went to his best reliever, the most trustworthy reliever he has right now in the 8th. And he mowed them down. I mean, if it had been a stressful inning, it took 23 pitches, a couple runners on base. But he was the hot knife. The Yankees' 3, 4, 5 hitters were the butter. So why not send him out for the 9th? Had it been still only a 1-run lead, would that have influenced it? Or, well, it's a chance for me to give Will Harris a little work. But it's not a spring training game. You're scuffling. Stick with your best guy with a 2-run lead.
Especially as effective as he was with the low pitches. Yes. And here's the thing.
Still on the players to do their jobs when called upon.
Sure, but all good things, when they go bad, people are trying to point a finger. It's instinct. They want to blame someone. And you look at him over the series, you go back to, should you have walked Sanchez to set up the double play in that game? Yesterday, you look at it, you say, well, you burned through your bench really quickly because not only did you make that decision in the bullpen, but then you didn't have anybody to either pinch run or pinch hit because you already had burnt Mariznick and Fisher. So you're stuck with Gattis on second base, which was a big deal because you're only 1 run down. And then you don't have any pinch hitting to go to. Not that it would have helped anyway, because the other thing overall is the fact that we know the bottom of the order is not hitting. But there were a lot of things that people are picking at with AJ Hinch now.
Don't you think Tony Sipp or Colin McHugh or somebody is faster than Evan Gattis?
I thought about that on the way home.
It actually would have meant a role for Tony Sipp on the team.
Right. Or Ken Giles. I thought Ken Giles would be a very speedy guy, and maybe there'd be a collision at the plate.
And some would have hoped he would have pulled a hamstring coming around third.
One way or
the
other. But at least in the Braves used to do that a lot because they had athletic pitchers.
Yeah.
Maddox and other guys would be used
Mike
as
Hampton
a pinch
used
runner.
To pinch runs all
good
the time.
Point. Yes, indeed.
Well, and it's a pretty sad state. And, hey, it's the bench, so you're not expecting to have just all studs available. When you're carrying 13 pitchers, you only have the 3-man bench to begin with. And it's really pretty sad in the 7th inning of a close game, you're sending Derek Fisher up to pinch hit because, well, I guess he's better than Jake Marisnik. There is that. Then Fisher, unsurprisingly, gets blown away, strikes out. Then in the 9th inning, because Fisher would have presumably 0 chance against Aroldis Chapman, You send up Evan Gattis just hoping dumb luck. Chapman makes a mistake and Gattis hits it out of the ballpark because Gattis is just a disaster so far this season. So, of course, Gattis is overmatched, swings through strike three, but it's the wild pitch. So you get the second chance. Springer gets the hit. It was impressive the way Chapman destroyed Altuve in three consecutive pitches.
Yeah, he dusted him, especially since Springer caught up to it and, and redirected it and made it, did a really nice job. I'm thinking Altuve is going to have a quick bat. He's going to be fine, and he just looked overmatched.
Altuve is still a good player at the level he's performing this season, but he's nowhere close to the MVP guy. We're 20% of the way into the season. Water can find its level and all that. But with the second-tier guys collectively basically all stinking, Marwin Gonzalez, Gurriel has not been good since coming back, Gattis and Fisher and Marisnik, that your star guys are not performing at the level you hope or expect they would be at, that matters too. Altuve was third in the league in OPS last season, on-base percentage plus slugging percentage. So far, it's only so far, but it's not a trivial percentage of the season anymore. Right now, Altuve is 37th in the American League in OPS. Correa is their only guy among their mainstays performing at a level that you'd say, okay, that's close to where you hope he'll be come season's end. But Correa is down too. Springer is down. Bregman's down. Altuve is well down. And it's why the Astros offense overall this season is a mediocrity.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things. And this is what I keep telling people. Hitting is going to come and go. What you can't afford is to for your starting pitching to not be there. And that's why they're still percentage points behind first place. That's why they're still in the division because of their starting pitching. I'm not concerned about a lot of these guys in this lineup. I think they'll hit. I don't think you're going to get career years like you did out of a lot of people last year, namely Marwin Gonzalez, Jake Marisnik towards the end. It wasn't a career year, but before he got hurt.
Reddick wasn't crazy great, but certainly better than he'd been in any other season.
Absolutely.
And obviously his stats at home were huge, best in the American League.
Yeah. And the other thing just real quick that I wanted to point out is I mentioned that I thought it was a bad decision by A.J. Hinch, but I wanted to look up Will Harris's numbers. You know, he had a 180 ERA in April. So it wasn't completely unheard of to go to Will Harris in the ninth. Although when you look at Chris Devinsky, he's only given up the one earned run. Lefties are hitting .222 against him. I think I play the percentages there and just go with Devo. But the fact that Will Harris hasn't been horrible.
Well, and think about it. He didn't exhaust his bullpen the entire series either because the starters all went very deep into games. So it wasn't like you were worried about, well, if I use Devinsky for another inning, then can I use him in the Arizona series? Because the bullpen hadn't been taxed very much.
Right.
And if you stay with a guy who dominated the eighth inning and he uses 18 pitches in the ninth and he's not available tonight, well, then fine. Show all your confidence in Will Harris and Brad Peacock
And your big guns are pitching too. So the guys that have been going deep into games again. So take that risk, but make sure you put that win in your back pocket heading out on the road because it was not a very good homestand.
It was a bad homestand.
Yeah,
4-6.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on with Charlie. We got one segment to go in that portion of the show, and you can join us.
What up, Charlie?
Are the mic's still on?
You are such a disruptive force in this studio. But your poses are unbelievable
for the camera. I thought you were going to throw
half an ass cheek up on the desk.
We're going to have to get you to put your leg down.
There's a lot going on
there. Yeah. I just pulled up the stream.
Because you're not exactly a long NBA shorts guy. You might have a sideshow going on that people don't want to see. I'm just letting you know.
Something fall out there.
Yeah.
Showing up here, Commander.
Hey, boys, what are you doing? All right, we'll be back. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second segment with Charlie Polillo. First hour of the show, Usual Suspects on an Friday. We are rolling along. We already gave you the first clip from Barry's man, who is on the show today.
Kazim Rahman,
yes. Charlie, you missed that, sorry. But you'll listen to the rest of the show, so you'll catch the other two clips.
That's what podcasts are for.
Yep, that's
right.
We have been talking about the Astros, so Corey wants to get in here. Corey, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? They call me Verbal Kent because I talk too much. quick question for you. Do you think, and you guys have named off a plethora of questions on why the Astros aren't doing so well. Do you think, on top of all that, they're kind of having the Heisman slump of baseball with all the off-season interviews and celebrations and appearances they've had to do? Do you think that that might have some sort of effect on why they're just not performing the way that they did at the end of last year? And it's, by and large, the same core group of guys that won the World Series. I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate it.
I mean, first and foremost, you're not the Dodgers. You're over 500. We just said your percentage points out of first place in your division. You've got a winning record. Your starters are off the charts. You're probably going to make the playoffs. I don't foresee this being something that's catastrophic and they turn it upside down. So I don't think it's ready to abandon ship. But obviously, you can say sophomore slump after winning it. But the bigger thing is, too, is because the stakes have risen, the critics are going to come out of the woodwork quicker and be more pointed.
Well, I'll give two quick comparisons. The Cubs started 17-16 last year. Mm-hmm. They were 40-40 at just about the dead midpoint of the season. So do you lose a little bit of your edge, a little bit of your hunger, maybe in the sport where you're playing almost every day as opposed to a defending football champion where you only need to get it up 16 regular season games? Maybe there's a little bit to that. But I don't think George Springer looks 15 pounds overweight or that Altuve got all his money, so now that he's mailing it in. It's tough, and it's not solitaire or golf where it's just you against the deck or you against the course. And I don't think in baseball there's the element of we're getting everybody's best shot every time out because there are so many games.
Right.
But it just hasn't kicked in. You mentioned the Dodgers and that the Astros are 20-13. We can dial it back to the Rockets. Won the first championship and coming back, they kind of drifted through. They were still pretty good. They were about 31-18. But decided we need something to shake it up, and it was a unique opportunity, bringing Clyde Drexler home. A couple of months from now, the Astros will make a couple of changes if they're continuing to play at this level of performance given their own standards. But if they keep winning at this pace all season, now they're down to winning only 98 games, which I would bet is at least 98% to win the division.
Yeah. I wanted to compare this team this year there, through April to two teams. The World Series team of 2017 and the team that got off to that horrid start in 2016 that was never able to recover, even though they played better after that, they just had dug themselves such a big hole that they couldn't climb out of it. And so I'm looking just at, you know, March, April. Runs scored in 2016, 90. Runs scored in 2017, 112. Runs scored this year in April, 149. Now, do you take some of that from the White Sox series and the fact that they've played a couple of bad teams with bad pitching, when you really start to notice the trend is like batting average and OPS, it's closer. They're hitting like they hit 255 in April this year. And the year that they got off to that slow start, they hit 235. So this is a team that last year hit 280 as a team.
Right.
So that I think that they're going to get better. If you consider what happened in 2016, it's kind of the tale of 2 years, right? You look at this team, they're essentially tied for first, and they've not had a great month. It hasn't been a horrible month, but they haven't had a great month. They had somewhere in between 2016 and 2017, and they're not out of it. So I think they're going to hit themselves out of this, but you just have to hope that pitching staff stays healthy and that you can get some help at the back end of that bullpen.
I mean, here's the thing. A year ago, the same thing happened to the Yankees at one point, where you dropped three to the Yankees. A year ago, the good thing was when you played the White Sox, this time you didn't get swept out of Chicago when you thought that they were a bad team that you should have taken care of. You took care of your business. So it's all to the point of saying, obviously, every year is different and everything's going to change. But at the same time, this would be a lot worse if they were under 500 and grossly underperforming. But the fact that they're literally in first place and their pitching staff is so good, I just think people just have a whole different set of characteristics and things that they're analyzing than they did before they won the World Series.
You could have a dip year individually or collectively. I think the most logical expectation is the offense rounds into better form. Probably not as good as last year's offense.
No way.
Was.
I don't think so either.
But the offense picks up some. The starting pitching's not going to remain this good. I'd lay pretty good odds that Cole, Verlander, and Morton aren't all going to finish with ERAs in the ones. Though Verlander, I'm starting to wonder, might he be able to do it?
Yeah.
So is the medium happy enough? They remain the obvious favorite to win the American League West. Credit to the improved Angels. Credit to the improved Mariners. People should be much more worried right now about what the Rockets are going to do tonight in Utah.
Also, don't forget, last year's offense was historic. The numbers that they put up. That's not going to happen every year. You're just not going to have that.
But do you guys think, because of what you're saying, Barry, because of the fact that what we've all said in terms of what the slumps are and year to year it changes, Luhnow was on the broadcast the other night and he said the only thing that we really would address right now is we're still looking at a left-handed relief pitcher. Based on what we saw happen in this Yankee series, based on the trends that we're seeing happen with this team offensively, do you feel like now it's more essential that they look for another bat or two and look for definitely strengthening the bullpen overall?
I think they definitely know that they need some help at the back end of that bullpen. You've got to have a guy, if you're going to contend for a World Series again, you've got to have a guy that you trust with the lead. And right now, I don't think that exists, and I think they're going to have to go find that. But as far as the bat goes, I don't think they're looking yet, because they still haven't played their ace in the hole, which is calling up Kyle Tucker.
Right.
Once they'll call up Kyle Tucker, maybe mid-May, at the end of May, give him through June. If this offense is still not producing by the end of June, go ahead and expect that the month of July will be spent looking for two things, a left fielder and a closer.
They went hard after relief help last year. Instead, it wound up being Justin Verlander. So if there's a top-tier eighth, ninth inning guy, they can go pursue that. Hey, if Marwin Gonzalez a month from now is the Marwin Gonzalez that has played so far this season, he will not merit the playing time that he's continuing to get off his excellence of last year. Another month of this from Evan Gattis, you could start arguing, release him.
Yes.
His contract is up. He's a free agent. No way you're going to re-sign. He's caught three innings so far this year because he's so bad behind the plate, and you have Max Stassi you're comfortable with now as the complement to McCann. And carrying both Marisnyk and Fisher is to the point of silliness.
Yeah.
Fisher should be down and take your pick among J.D. Davis, Tony Kemp, Tyler White. All are well over 300 in the minors. Not that they're going to be magic misters fix it, but they can't possibly be as bad as Fisher and or Marisnyk. And among Marwin, Fisher and Marisnyk, one of them has to be in the lineup every day. You only have three bench options. And so the bottom of the order too often has been an anvil. Again, you hope things balance out over the season. I didn't update it through yesterday's games. But as a team so far, the Astros are batting roughly 160 with runners in scoring position and two out, meaning you either come through, knock in a run, or the inning's over. Yep. Unless there's a walk or something like that. The worst in the league, tied with the Orioles. By comparison, the Red Sox hitting 330.
Yeah, and this is a team
in
last year.
Same spots.
This is a team
I doubt
last
the Red Sox
year.
Will wind up hitting 330 in those spots. I doubt the Astros wind up hitting in 160 in those spots, so how close to the middle do they meet?
And this is a team last year that produced with runners in scoring position, that produced with runners in scoring position with two outs.
All right, here's my one other nerd number component of the segment here. The Astros still are 0 for the season. When they're behind after six innings, the game has been over. Right? Yesterday looked like, all right, they're going to finally win one of those. If you're behind after eight, I don't care if you're great. You're going to lose almost all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But after six...
And they had a great record last year.
Last season, they won 14 times that at the end of the sixth inning, the Astros were losing. So far this season, they are 0-11.
And the other thing, too, is like you said, with comparisons to the Rockets, look, the Rockets went out and got two other guys besides Chris Paul that have paid off head and shoulders above everybody when that you went and you got the guys you got in Mbah Mute and P.J. Tucker. The Astros went out and got two relief pitchers who they thought most of the league and most analysts of the league thought were above average relief pitchers. Both of them have been underperforming in Smith and in Rondon. So you went out and you tried to make moves that didn't work out either. But I think that because of the expectations, maybe even before you get to July, I think they're going to start kicking the tires on a lot of different things with bats and relief pitching.
Well, somebody had a good point on text, Eric, who said, do you think that this is just criticism from new fans that don't understand what, you know, they did bring a lot of new
some of that
bandwagon
and that's good.
Fans.
It means overall there's more interest.
There's nothing wrong with expecting
your
team.
It's our job as trained professionals to separate the wheat from the chaff in the discussion.
And there's nothing wrong with expecting your team to win. That's what you want. You want a culture of winning, and with a culture of winning comes expectations. You think Yankee fans, if they got off to a slow start, wouldn't be hating on everybody up and down? They'd be yelling to send Judge down. They booed Stanton. There's nothing wrong with a culture of winning. Whether it's from new fans or old.
I'll throw you a question as the music plays me out here.
Okay.
If the Rockets-Jazz series is not going to be 2-2 when we show up for work Monday, who's up 3-1?
Houston. I don't think this is a series ending. I think this is a wake-up call, but I think they better be careful because that is a tough place to play.
I want to say Jazz just because it's on the road in Utah. If it's not 2-2, which I think it will be, I think they'll be coming back 2-2.
Yeah, I think 2-2 is the most logical.
But I think if they're up 3-1, it's the Jazz because the Rockets just got punched in the mouth and the Jazz are confident and at home.
Well, wouldn't that be
interesting? And altitude, yeah.
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the 65-win team that realized, you know, you're a 65-win team, but you're not one of the greatest teams in NBA history. You still need to show up.
And don't take for granted a good, young, athletic team that plays defense because they can burn you, and they did.
General rule, right? Some stereotypes, like cliches, they exist because white guys on the perimeter can shoot well. Stop leaving Joe Ingles all alone out there. He's a better shooter than anybody the Rockets have. 44% three-point shooter 2 years in a row.
And the shoes he wears let you know he's a shooter. They're like old school Nike. Just like they look like they were made in 1980.
It's a calendar year to get the thing off. And it's like all it's moving parts galore, but he knocks them down.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie, we appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Other than that, we're going to continue to roll on. We got one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. Coming up next, it's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.